Good morning, brethren, sisters. Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. So, had a couple thoughts as we were singing there. One song was singing, Is It Well With Your Soul? And thinking on something has happened here, I think, a couple weeks ago, and finally came to a close this week. And I know this happens all the time around us, but every time it happens, it's an amazing truth that it's very important that it is well with our soul. This young man by the name of Marco Kaufman, he passed away this week through the very hands of ungodly sinners that Jesus came to redeem but are not walking in the light. And sometimes we think of those things and it tends to throw us for a loop a little bit because they don't seem right. It isn't right. But this morning, you know, it's a good question. We sang it as the truth, it is well with my soul, but I think it's good for us to ask the question too. Maybe there's some that it is not well with our soul. Or maybe we have things that God is wanting to take away, cleanse us from, and all He's asking for is an honest heart. And that's for each one as we go to our hearts. You know, we look at the works of the flesh and we maybe see a couple in there real quick that we focus on and we're not included there, but let's take them all in. Let's look at them all. And that wasn't even what I was going to talk about today, but I just had those thoughts and I wanted to just share them. What I wanted to talk about was the foretelling of the birth of Christ, and then also John the Baptist, and then the birth of Christ and the birth of John, and then get some thoughts from these scriptures as we look at them. There's quite a few things that we can look at. I know Brother Merv shared something about, the pendulum might have swung, and maybe, but they don't need to. I think it is very good for us to bring these things forth, especially as for the children, that because it's very important for faith to continue, I believe, that we speak of these things. Because when all of a sudden we have a generation that all they know about is salvation in Jesus Christ, and that's the only thing that they know, and I believe that's enough for salvation. But I think that for faith, we need to continue on in these prophecies of Jesus Christ coming and the plan for mankind and all the things that are even in the old covenant leading towards the new. So with those thoughts in mind, I'd like to have a word of prayer and then we just start. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do bow before you and we thank you this morning for Jesus, the King that has come, has died, has resurrected to give us life, Father, that we may dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, that we may be called your sons and daughters, that we may live righteous because of you, Lord. May we have a desire to do that which is right this morning. We give you the honor for that. We do lift up your name this morning. We do praise you, for you are worthy. And this morning there's no one here that's going to be here in 120 years. We'll all be gone. And we just ask you, Lord, this morning that you'd open up our hearts as we look at some of the prophecy and the birth of John the Baptist and Christ, and also a little bit of truth, Lord, why this was this way. And just ask you, Lord, that you would give me the words that you'd have me speak. Pray, Father, for each one of our hearts, it be opened, be softened to you, that we may learn of you, that we may learn that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. So, Father, we thank you for this time. Just ask your blessing upon each heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes we get caught up in this life. I know I do. But when those things happen like this week, you know, it makes me think again about the curse that is upon this earth and how sin bringeth forth death. In this case, it brought forth, I believe, the death of a saint, according to what we hear. I didn't know the man. But sin brings forth death. And may we keep that in mind as we go through our life. It always will. It always did. So I got a little thing here I was going to read. It's a letter from God. I found it. I thought it was kind of nice. Goes with what I was thinking about today. It says that, "Dear little flock, you're all wandering away from me like sheep in an open field. You have always been running away from me, and now you're lost. You can't find your way back, but I can't stop loving you. I will come to find you, so I am sending you a shepherd to look after you and love you and to carry you home to me. You've been stumbling around like people in a dark room, but into the darkness a bright light will shine. It will chase away all the shadows like sunshine. A little baby will be born, a royal son. His mommy will be a young girl who doesn't have a husband. His name will be Emmanuel, which means God has come to live with us. He is one of King David's children's children's children, the Prince of Peace. Yes, someone is going to come and rescue you, but he won't be who anyone expects. He will be a king, but he won't live in a palace, and he won't have lots of money. He will be poor, and he will be a savior. But this king will heal the whole world. He will be a hero. He will fight for his people and rescue them from their enemies, but he won't have big armies and he won't fight with swords. He will make the blind see. He will make the lame leap like a deer. He will make everything the way it was always meant to be. But people will hate him. They won't listen to him. He will be like a lamb. He will suffer and die. It's the secret rescue plan we made from the beginning, from before the beginning of the world. It's the only way to get you back. But he won't stay dead. I will make him alive again. And one day when he comes back to rule forever, the mountains and the trees will dance and sing for joy. The earth will shout out loud. His fame will fill the whole earth. As the waters cover the sea, everything sad will come untrue. Even death is going to die, and he will wipe away every tear from every eye. Yes, the rescuer will come. Look for him, watch for him, wait for him. He will come. I promise. Love, God." Fear not, little flock, it is my pleasure to give you the kingdom, God says in his word. So is this his will to give us the kingdom? And this morning I was going to just go through a little bit of the scriptures in Isaiah. It was like 700 years before Christ. And I'd like to turn to Isaiah 40. Verse 1 says, comfort you, my people, saith your God. This is 700 years before Christ. There was a problem. Sin was always the problem. Wrongdoing was always the problem. You see it manifest itself throughout the world today, every day. It's the problem of everything. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. John the Baptist. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass. That's what he is supposed to cry. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. One man lives to be 25, another lives to be 80. But it's still just like grass. It withereth, the grass withereth. Number 7, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The part of us that makes us breathe, that what makes us who we are, is going to live forever. Other than that, what you see as you look around is going to pass away. It's as grass. And in this time that we live, in this grass, in this body, boldly I say, we'll have a choice to make. And we're going to see that in the scriptures today. Even Jesus Christ made choices. And he will look upon our hearts, for sure. Verse 9, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, and be not afraid, saying to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with his strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. We were referred to as lambs, as the children of God. This will go a long ways in my life, in your life, everyone's life, when we continue to look at what God is looking for in our life. He's looking for a lamb. The song, I like that song, One Little Lost Lamb, and Here I Am. We have gone astray. He came looking for us. Praise the Lord. We were found of him, and we refused not. Let us continue walking that way. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. In Malachi 3, verse 1, you don't need to turn to it if you don't. I'm just reading one verse there. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, which is Jesus Christ, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Jesus said of women, there was none greater than John the Baptist. Born of women, there were none greater. But he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The disciples said, they came to Jesus, they was all excited. They said, "Even the spirits are subject to us." I'm paraphrasing. Jesus said, "Don't get so excited because the spirits are subject to you, but be excited because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name's written in heaven," he said. He always brought it back to the most important thing. Yeah, that would be exciting, but he said, this is what you should be excited about. This life, and I speak to the young people, for sure, all of us can get excited about things, but I think from 12 to 22, 23, whatever that age may be, it could vary a lot. But there's a lot of things that come along that can excite us. And sometimes rightfully so. But he wants us always to come back really quick to what's most exciting to us and most important to us. Let that be a question. For he says, this is what you should be excited about. That your name is written in heaven. Isaiah 7, that was prophecy of John. To go to Isaiah 7 for some prophesying of the coming of Christ. I think there's, I don't know how many there is. I just picked like, I think three. So it wouldn't take too much time. Verse 14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good." There it talks about Jesus refusing evil. And it's not enough to just refuse evil. You can refuse it and refuse it and refuse it and refuse it. But if you do not choose the good, eventually you will take on the evil. Because we're just not good enough of ourselves to keep these things at bay. We need something in us to keep them at bay. And we need to refuse evil and choose good. I read something this week. It says one of the worst conditions that you can get in is being a boat out in the middle of an ocean and die of thirst. And that's what would happen. You would die of thirst. He said that this world today has so much salt water that that's what's happening to many people. They're living in so much of the world that the world is overtaking them. And let that be, let us look at that for each and every one of our own lives, what that may be. Because it is not one particular thing. Everything we can touch, feel, and see is of the world. And we can, he said, on the positive note, he said, if you take in fresh water, here we are refusing evil, the salt water and taking in fresh water that brings life, keeps us alive, and keeps us walking in the faith of Jesus Christ. For before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. We just take that as the kings of this earth are just going away when he comes. So Isaiah 9 verse 1 says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in the Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. 700 years before Christ. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, man's burden, sin problem, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Our oppressor is the devil and our flesh. But if we're taking in the fresh water of Jesus Christ, humbling our hearts before God, we will withstand the salt water. For verse 5, for every battle the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord is going to perform it. 700 years before, the Lord was zealous. We don't understand all this. This human race, I don't understand it all. I don't understand. But one thing I get a picture of, that sin cannot enter there. And our mediator, our Savior, Jesus Christ, came to save us. No one is exempt from this need. Young and old. Young people can't ride in on their parents or their grandparents. Everyone needs this. First, we need to feel our need, which if we read the Word and believe it, that shouldn't be hard. But it's definitely something that God works in our hearts. So we'll also see in the Scriptures here today, yet, Lord willing, that salvation is not the way of man, but it is the way of God. He brought it forth in many different ways to show us this. And I was blessed to be able to see that. But each person needs salvation. There's no doubt about that. He came for everyone. And this world is definitely increasing in wickedness. Salt water. Let us not die of thirst. In Zechariah 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Went riding into Jerusalem, and the people was excited to see him coming. I believe there was many people that got saved right there. It's not written down that way in the scriptures, but the way they honored him, the way they spread forth them expensive blankets and stuff before him, they wanted to do something for him because they felt something. They loved him. And today, that can be the same for us. You know, as Marlon was speaking to the young children up here, kindness, that's a great building block that young children can bring forth, even in their even where they're at. You don't need to be converted to bring forth kindness as young children, and that is definitely one great building block. And may we as parents look to that, because it's our duty. I mean, they're not just automatically going to be kind, I don't think. I mean, some might be a little closer to that, but let us see to it and teach that. That's one thing that is a real blessing out there in this world, is when little children are kind, and you know, they all have their day. So we all have our day. With that, let just turn to Luke 1. Got a little reading here I was going to do, so I was blessed by reading it. See God's heart for us, so that we not be lost, so that we can walk here in this life saved, walking in His will, in righteousness and holiness before Him all the days of our life, because our life is as grass. Luke 1, I think I'm going to read it, so it'll be take a little bit here, but that's kind of what I was wanting to do with the children. Maybe we could all pay attention so that we can, faith can start, that we can believe. I know that thinking back, it was definitely knowing the scriptures in part, still in part, but has helped with faith towards God. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us," somebody delivered that to Luke, "which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." He put a lot of emphasis on the certainty and also on letting them know. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and that they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his cousin, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. The angel said, He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Jesus said that we, if we are in the kingdom of heaven, the least of those in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than him. That's a humbling thought, because no one of us wants to think we're greater than John, and we are not of ourselves, but we are because of Christ in us. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And we'll see that later on. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. You know, sometimes maybe the young people might think we're too protective. But right here, you know, the Lord says that's what he wants to do. He wants to turn our hearts towards you in that way. It says that, turn our hearts to you, and then we'll make mistakes as we do that. But we ask for your mercy and your forgiveness and understanding, because we believe that the Lord has done this. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Looking at that a little bit, I don't think that he said that much right there. But in his heart, he didn't believe it. And he was rebuked for it. And he was a good man. It says that he was righteous over in verse 6. And it just shows me that even though we be righteous, we can get into areas and places where God is not pleased and he wants to change us. And right here, you know, Zechariah, he didn't believe that. In his heart, he did not believe it. That's why this happened. And I'm going to see a little bit of that over when he was talking to the angel was talking to Mary. There seemed to be almost the same kind of response, but not the same consequence. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into his city of Galilee. Now remember, this was 700 years later from the first thoughts that I was speaking out of Isaiah there. This is now happening. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. A couple thoughts on that. She was not the only girl around in those days, but this was how he met her, how the angel greeted her. He said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Young girls, the Lord is not short-sighted when he sees your hearts turned toward him. there's a special blessing for you when your heart is turned towards Him. Because the young girls of the world that are only out there to do what the world has called them to do, the Lord is not blessed. But today, you have the opportunity to be as Mary, blessed among women. And if that's your heart, as your desire, God bless you. If it's not, then seek the Lord. Because that's what will count. You know, we all know that, once again, death is only one breath away. And there's nothing in this life worth missing. This blessing in this time, and also the blessing of being with Him throughout all eternity. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Back up to verse 29. "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Up there he said she's highly favored. Down here he said she's found favor with God. There's absolutely nothing better. Nothing. Then find favor with God. Today, we can find favor with God through Jesus Christ, His Son, whom we read about in that story. We've all went astray. We've all wandered away for a long time. But God had a plan for us. Verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." He just simply went all the way back through the old covenant and said that he is going to be the king over that time and this time. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her," and I really don't see that much difference in that response than Zechariah's response. The only thing I know is that she just had a question, not really in disbelief, just wanted to know. Where the other one, from his heart, he didn't believe it. And because she didn't get rebuked. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." That's where we, as humans, we get stopped up a lot of times because we can't think past, it looks impossible sometimes. But with God, it's not. Nothing is impossible. "And Mary said," this was her response, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Lots of shame was going to come upon her. Lots of rumors. But because she was taking in fresh water, not salt water, she was blessed. She was favored among women, among girls her age by God. And because she had this within her, she could say, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Verse 39, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that true salvation came to Elizabeth, that she now knew she was saved. She had something she never had before. And that's why I'm saying about salvation coming to human beings, let's not be deceived that there's just one or two or three ways, but God saves how he wants to and in what manner that he wants to. And we'll see more. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. They were cousins. And I believe that was probably one of the greatest spiritual gatherings that could have ever happened. Right there. Verse 43. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She recognized. She recognized why she's saved. She recognized it. And he was not even born yet. But the Holy Spirit was working, was doing its doing what he does. 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Said over there in Luke 1, it says it. In verse 15, he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. That was a prophecy. And then here we read it happening. 45. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. The Song of Mary. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. You see her heart? For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. This is Mary speaking. She is speaking from her heart. He hath filled the hungry with good things, fresh water, not the salt water. And the rich he has sent empty away. Those who were rich were sent away, were taken in salt water. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. To go over to verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Are you saved from your enemy? He is the devil. And according to the word, according to the faith, the Holy Spirit in us, walking towards God in this way, we can be saved from the devil. And he says in verse 72, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. There's his heart, God's heart for us, that we would humble ourselves, that we would serve him in holiness, in righteousness, before him all the days of our life. And that's how Mary was serving him. She counted herself as a woman, young girl of low estate. And she served him in holiness and righteousness. And the revelation of Jesus Christ came to Mary and her cousin Elizabeth at the same time, the way it seems. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. There's repentance. Without repentance, I don't believe there's any remission. But when he says remission, it means that he takes it away. The sin problem, he takes it away. And he gives us a new nature. He makes us a new man. Old things pass away, all things become new. 98%, I'm just throwing that figure out there, of the population today, which is 6 to 7 billion, is lost. The sin problem remains. Not because God hasn't done his part, but it's because of the flesh, the devil, and the sin problem. And are turning away and hardening of the heart, where righteousness is called wrong and wrong is called righteousness. That's where the world is today. Maybe they was that way 1,000 years ago. I don't know. I wasn't there. But they certainly are that way today. Speak out against sin, and there will be repercussions. Verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of the showing unto Israel. The birth of Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. I don't know, probably quite a few of us have been to that Bethlehem walk. That's kind of a nice place to go, and it gives you a decent idea of what that might have looked like, at least as close as we can tell, as far as we can think. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Here's what we'd talked about in Isaiah, 700 years prior to this happening. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. There's what the angels were, says that a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Glory to God. Because God, something was happening. Something had happened. We don't look at it. We sometimes, I mean, it's hard to comprehend what it's all about. But it was all about sin. It's the sin problem. That's what it was about. And sin nature. Maybe we say it that way. But God was taking care of it for all those who would come to Him in repentance for the remission of sins. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven. I mean, that was amazing because the sky was filled with angels. This was the greatest event. You know, we see eclipses, we see beautiful things in the heavens. But this was the greatest event in the heavens that ever was. And I believe it's going to happen again. In Revelations, it talks about that. And let us be prepared for that. Let our heart be as Mary's heart. Let us check our hearts so that we be prepared to see the angels and that we be not afraid. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. As the Lord made known unto us, to you, this great thing of salvation for our soul, to take away our sin, He will, if we are willing. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. When she kept those things and pondered them in her heart, remember, she was still just a very, very young girl. I don't know what age. But I believe that her heart was bursting with joy as she pondered these things in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had seen, heard and seen as it was told unto them. In Matthew 1, you don't need to turn there if you don't want, that's fine. I spoke of Mary a little bit. I'd like to read a few verses here concerning Joseph now. For the young men. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. Okay, it's time to put her away. He's not going to marry her. This was his heart. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The angel spoke these words to Joseph. Now, it says he was going to put her away. He wasn't thinking about it. He was going to do it. That was his mind. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Because Joseph was taking in fresh water, because he wasn't just bound in the things of this world, he could hear the voice of this angel, and he could hearken unto it. And, you know, this was a hard thing. Had to be a hard thing. But he submitted to this angel, the word that came to him. It's like to bring forth their spirit, Joseph and Mary, both very young. I would say, you know, may we guess them to be 20 years old. I don't know. But they was not old. I never looked into how old they might have been, but I know you can tell that they were not old, and that they both was walking with the Lord, and that they both had a very submissive spirit as unto the Lord. And therefore, today we stand here and still speak of that about them. In Malachi 3, it says, But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hirelings in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. You're going astray. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But he said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, Wherein hath we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'd say the Lord is still asking us to prove him. He likes that. Not in doubt, like Zechariah did, but like Mary did. She's like, how's it going to be? How is this going to be? And we may say the same today, but let us say it with Mary's heart. And if we be like Zechariah, he will also cleanse us, because he cleansed him. When the baby was born and Zechariah took the note and he said his name is John, he could speak. And that's how it works with us. When we be obedient to the Lord, then we can speak. And that's all that I have today. I just pray that the Lord would take the words and multiply them as he would like to in each one of our hearts. God bless.